Isn't it nice to know that we're not the only ones that make mistakes? I thank you very much because I can't sometimes talk, which you all know. Grace. Amen. Grace. I want you to think about for a few minutes, if you were in a room and you were given everything you needed in that room to complete a home and the foundation was already laid for you and all you had to do was build upon it and you were given all the tools, everything, the money, the finances, everything to complete what was there laid down for you to build on. What would you do with that? I mean, you had to take, you're going to have to move toward one way or the other. You're going to have to take and step out to do it because they're all there, but you can't get them all at one time. So you have to start somewhere, right? I want you to think about that as we look at Ephesians today, chapter 4. I'm going to close your book. Is that all right? After I do it. If it isn't, it's Mindy's fault. It's Mother's Day, right? Anywho, chapter 4 of Ephesians, and we will start at verse 7. You'll notice the second word here is grace, right? But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. I couldn't get past that, but we're going to read down through till 16, just so we get in context here. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who is also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. None of us would be here without our mothers, just to remind you. Okay, so thank you, Mom. Mom's here today. I don't get that very often. Mom's here today, so I get to say that. Thank you, Mom. I've read the verses already, but I want you to keep in mind that up to this point, the emphasis has been on our unity in Christ as the body of Christ, right? That we are all one in Christ. That there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians tells us that, 3:28. We have been baptized into Christ. We are all a part of the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us that. And I cannot overstress what it says in Galatians 3. Because if there is neither Jew nor Greek, Gentile, okay, within the body, then the next words are also true and need to be embraced throughout God's kingdom. And you can look at those and figure out which ones I'm talking about. And I would really like to encourage you all to make sure you look up the further reading because it will help you to grow and to build on what is being preached here this morning, if you will. And it helps. It would help you and give yourself a more depth of understanding, if you will, of what is being said, as I said. We are all one, and yet we are individuals, separate, but integral parts of the body. We're all different. There's no doubt about that. And what enables all of us, all of this togetherness, this unity that we have within the body of Christ, is grace. Grace. Grace is one of the most important doctrines that is taught in the church. One of the most important biblical doctrines that we have as Christians. The biblical doctrine of grace is taught and preached in every tradition and fellowship, not just the Church of God. In everyone. But what is grace? Grace is seen as the undeserved favor of God, and notice how I put it, and then unmerited divine assistance. Right? God's grace enables us to break free of our sinful nature, to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, and to live for Him. Grace gives us strength and protects us. Without God's grace, without His favor, we would be hopelessly lost. We, by God's grace, mature as Christians as we walk in that grace that He freely gives us. Grace drives our sanctification. Titus 2 tells us, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." God's grace is available to everyone. The weak, the angry, the hurt, the prostitute, the alcoholic, the drug addict, the woke. No one is outside of God's grace. I want to make that clear. We have no right to write someone off because they're too far gone. No one is outside of God's grace. He can reach them. But you know how He reaches them? Through us. Amen. We've got to be on fire for that. That grace is available to us. 1 Corinthians 6, I'm going to read to you 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Nobody is beyond God's grace. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Grace. Going on from Titus. Grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. When does He do that? When does grace do that? Now. Right now. Right where you're at. God's grace is right there. This grace is ours as we eagerly await for Christ's return, because He's coming back. Grace transforms our desires, motivations, attitudes, and behavior. Grace brings about spiritual growth. Grace enables and empowers us, and the very gifts of God are given to us by grace. Second Peter 3:18 tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? We grow in grace through sanctification. And we are sanctified by the truth. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. That's grace. Being sanctified is grace. That's something that's given to us as we participate in what God has for us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Even our faith is the result of God's grace, as is our right standing before Almighty God. Therefore, since you have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of our God. Romans 5:2. You, as a believer, are no longer under the power of sin and death. But you are now in the grace of God. You're in that room that has all those tools that you need. You're standing right there. The foundation has been laid, right? With Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. In God's grace, you are justified, sanctified, and set free from the bondage of sin. Grace places you in the family of God. Peace and security are yours as you stand in grace. Second Timothy 2:1 tells us that we are strengthened by grace. That is ours in Christ Jesus. And Hebrews 13:9 tells us that our hearts are strengthened by grace. That means you have the strength to live out your purpose as a Christian, and that you can put your whole heart into it because it's strengthened by grace. I can wholeheartedly serve the Lord. You can wholeheartedly serve the Lord. You have nothing to fear. We turn to grace, to the very grace of God, when situations and circumstances are beyond our abilities to control. I like to be in control. I want to know what's happening. I want all my ducks lined up. And God says, I'll put them in the pond. They're there. What are you going to do with them? But God is right there and we can go to him. Hebrews 4, we read, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. Anything we need is right there. God's waiting for you to come to him and say, help. Some of the shortest prayers I've ever heard are, help me, Lord. And those are sincere prayers. And he's right there for us. As a child of God, you have the privilege to go to the very throne of God. Remember, the veil was torn from top to bottom, 30 feet right down through it, so that you could go right to the Holy of Holies, right into the very throne room of God and state your case, and you'll get the grace you need to fulfill and build onto and into your calling as you walk in this world. We also receive grace as we fulfill our calling to share the gospel, to go out into the world and make disciples. In Acts, when Barnabas saw the Gentiles coming to Christ, he saw the grace of God. And this is Acts 11:23. Look it up. It's part of your further reading. When he saw the grace of God in action, he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord and steadfast purpose. You have a calling. Keep going in it. You all have a calling. Keep going in it. God's grace is right there. He sees it in action. I've seen it in action. The grace of God is there for your needs as you follow Christ according to what he has called you to, as individuals and as a church. Grace is given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, right? God does not equip, he does not call the equipped, he equips the called. God does not call the equipped, he equips the called. And you are called as God's children to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. That aside, at the same time, you are in a war for souls. You, every one of you, and that there's four of them pointing back to me when I'm pointing out at you. All of us are at a war or in a war for souls. And in the midst of that, in the midst of all of what's going on, you are equipped for your calling by grace. Grace. You as a unique individual, and you are all unique. And there's so much that I want to point out and pick at. I'm not doing it. There's grace in action right there, Jan. I just can't help myself. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're all unique. We're all unique. I know that we're all different, and we're supposed to be different. We're like snowflakes. Maybe not the right words. But snowflakes are individual. They're all separate. They all look different. They all act different. None of us looks alike. Not all of us have the same talents and abilities. Not all of us are equipped to do the same things. Read 1 Corinthians 12. Not everyone's an eye. Not everyone's a hand. Not everyone's an ear. We couldn't walk if we were all hands and eyes and ears. We're all different. But he equips each of us as individuals to do what he's accomplished, what he wants us to accomplish in his will and in his way. When you do that, when you do according to his will and his way, you are blessed with the grace you need to continue on. This is the amazing thing that gets me about grace. I have the grace I need right now. And then as I take my next step, that grace is waiting for me that I'm going to need to take the next one. Isn't that awesome? I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Some of us like to worry. Or it seems like we can't help ourselves. But in our calling, God is right there, right now, saying, here's what you need, and I've got it for you. Take a step. Build on what's been laid and keep going. There's something you need to understand. Every blood-bought, Bible-believing, born-again Christian is called to minister in one way or another. Some of you don't want to hear that. That doesn't mean that you're going to be up front speaking. It may mean that you're up front speaking. I'm not God. Thank God for that. But he's going to call you and equip you to do what he's called you to do. He's not going to equip me for what you are supposed to do. He's not going to equip Brock for what I'm supposed to do. We have to remember that. We just need to take that next step and build on what's there. You as a Christian are his workmanship. We read this in chapter 2. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for you. He will equip you for the good works he has called you to do. Are you going to take the responsibility and the grace that is yours in Christ Jesus and fulfill your calling? Or are you just going to stand in His grace and admire how nice it is and say, I'm here. What did He preach like? And now what? That's what Pastor Mark preached on last night. Are you just going to stand in His grace and do nothing? Or are you going to take and build on what's there? Because it will take faith and it will take grace. And guess what? He gives it. He gives it to us. There is so much to the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ. I don't have enough time to preach what everything that I've read through and all that God gave me. Grace is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is not getting what we do deserve, and it is getting what we don't deserve. That's awesome. I know what I deserve. My wife will testify. Mom might testify unless I... Yeah, and Jan's really, really waiting right now. She's raising her hand. I will testify. I am grateful for Jan. You don't know. She takes it and takes it and takes it. And I'm not the only one that's dishing it out. And I know that Jan's a safe place. So she's got a great heart and she's involved with everything. So just be thankful the grace that God's given Jan. So, God's grace is available to any and all who choose to accept what was done for them at the cross. Undeserved favor. And then, as we become Christians, as we are made into His image, as we are being made, we are given that grace, that undeserved divine assistance. There's saving grace, and there's a whole list of graces. If you want to look them up, you can. For me, it boils down to two things: saving grace and sanctifying grace, because we're being sanctified continually. As we walk with Him, you are being sanctified, but you have to do your part. He gives it to all of us. To the blood-bought, born-again believers, saints, His children, His people, the Israel of God, that unmerited, I just can't get over that, divine assistance. He's always going to be there for us, right? 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm just going to read two verses. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, or it could be standing or secure footing or whatever other word might be in your translations. There's a warning there. We can't just stand in the grace. We could be drawn away. God's grace is there to help us. God's grace is there to strengthen us. But we have to take it. We have to ask for it. He goes on. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. How do I grow in something that is endless? How do you grow in grace, in the grace of God that is endless, that never stops? It is always there for whom? For you. For me. It's always there. We use the word grow, but we grow in the grace of God as we grow in our understanding of God's love and mercy toward us. It's not that God's grace grows, it's that we grow in our understanding. That's why it's linked there with knowledge, right? Grow in the grace and knowledge of. As we grow in the knowledge of God, we grow into the understanding of His love for us. They're linked together, right? The more you learn about Jesus, the more you will appreciate all that He has done for you and all that He's doing for you. You appreciate His love and His sacrifice for you. And the more you will perceive, when you do that, the more you will perceive His never-ending grace. It never stops. I have further to go than what I've already come. Pastor Henry, who had been in ministry for 25 years, said that 20 years ago. And I remember those words because it struck such a note in me that He's come all that way and He has that much further to go. When does it stop? It never stops. You are always to be growing and building on what God has laid down for you. And that's what we're all called to do. As a believer, you are a living example of God's grace. Think about that. You are a living example as a believer of God's grace. When people see you, they see the grace of God that has taken place in your life. You once were, and now you're something different, right? That's God's grace. And now you have the responsibility to respond to the grace available to you. You have to, not just stand there and do nothing. Well, there's the foundation. Here's the tools. Knowledge, finances, everything I need. It's not my job, it's the church's. Guess what? You're the church. Right? Build your faith. Get what is needed. Be strengthened and grow in the knowledge. Fulfill your calling, your purpose as part of this congregation of God's church. Now. Now is the time. Today is the day to approach the very throne of God. And say, God, I need. Because what you need isn't what I need. And what I need isn't exactly what you may need. It is by God's grace that I am here before you today. We talked about that last week. And you know when it started? 64 years ago. And then I was born again in 1997 and given new life. And from that moment on, God has had me and used me. And He will use you and you will be blessed. You will be blessed because He gives you the grace you need. And then as you take your step, He blesses you more. Not only with what you need in that moment, but His grace covers you in everything that you're doing. As you walk with Him in grace. That is awesome. Are you ready to approach the throne of grace this morning? Is there something that you need that God is so willing to give you that's right there in that room where you're standing right now? Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we are truly grateful for the mercy and grace that is shown us. We're thankful, Lord, for your love. We're thankful, Lord, that you have made us and created us with a reason and a purpose for being here. Help us, Lord, to accomplish your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Altars are open. Come to the throne of grace as the praise team leads us. You got one song to do yet? Please. Amazing Grace, maybe? Would you join me in a closing prayer? Father, we are grateful for the blood and the body. We're thankful, Lord, for the life that was given for ours, for our sin, Lord. We praise you and we are thankful, Lord, for the grace you give. Help us, Lord, to step out into the grace that is ours right now. To be everything you've created us to be. To bring glory to your name and fulfill our calling as a church. And as individuals. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace. There's lots of snacks. Please.